welcome to the New Beginnings Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
You as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and to say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. I love that the Lord says to him, before you were born, I set you apart. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Think about how vital that is, what that actually means. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. I think some of us, even now, you know, in our older ages, wish that we could be seen and known and loved all the way through and through. And we don't often feel that way from other people. And maybe we don't even feel that way from God. But he's saying, before you were even born, I saw you and I knew you. Not only that, I didn't just see you. I didn't just know you. I actually had a plan in mind for you, a purpose. And he's saying this over Jeremiah, but this is true of each one of us. There's nobody who's born that God doesn't know beforehand, that he doesn't appoint with a purpose. And so important that we understand that there's a reason that we're here. God delights in depositing destinies in people, in putting purpose deep inside for us to find, for us to discover. You know, in our family, one of the things that we love to do is puzzles. Are there any other puzzle families in here? We're a puzzle family, especially around the holidays. Like, we start cranking them out and we find a new one. Like, I think the biggest, did we do a 5,000 piece once? I think we regretted, did we? Are you sure? I think we tried, maybe a 2,000. There was one that was bigger than 1,000. We regretted it. And I think we went back to 1,000 piece puzzles. But here's the thing. When you're making a puzzle, the smart thing to do is to flip over all of the pieces so that you can see everything and begin putting them together, right? I gotta admit that a lot of times we're too, like, intense to actually focus on that. So we'll flip over most of them, but we don't necessarily get all of them. And then we're building the puzzle. And what happens is you're looking for that one piece that fits in that one spot and you've built it. And it's not until you flip it over from the gray side that you can see that's the one I needed. And I think the gray side, it's just dull, it's gray, it's forgettable. It doesn't seem important. You don't actually know the value of that piece until it's flipped over. And I think sometimes we feel that way. I think sometimes we feel gray and dull and forgettable. We feel like we don't know where we fit. And everybody else is putting their pieces together and their pictures together. And we're just sitting there going, I'm not really needed. I'm not really important. I'm just the gray piece. I'm just the gray piece. And we don't even recognize that there is a picture that God has planted inside of us. And so we live in that place. And I just want to encourage you guys that there is so much more that God has designed you for and that he's planted in you. He's planted purpose in you. And if nobody's ever said this to you, I want to say it now. You're needed. You are needed. You're not an accident. You're not forgettable. You are essential. You are essential. You guys remember when COVID happened and the government was trying to decide what businesses were and were not essential? Do you remember that? And I was sitting there in my business going, I sure hope they find me essential. Like, what a horrible way to phrase it. What a horrible, like, you're essential. You're really not. You're really not needed. And again, I think we get caught up in what value we think we're providing and what how much we think we're able to do and how much other people are looking at us and what the words they are saying about us, and we don't realize what God is saying about us because all the other voices are so much louder going, you're not important, and God's saying, you're not just important, you're essential. And the world's going, you're forgettable, and God's going, you are so unforgettable. My thoughts about you outnumber the sands on the sea. We have to recognize that there's a purpose he's planted inside of us. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. There's two interesting components about this verse, and I've taught it a lot, and I think we've heard it a lot, but purpose is like deep water in a man's heart, but a man of understanding will draw it out, man or woman, right? This goes both ways. First of all, you have to know that the water is there. You have to know that the water is there. Sometimes we think, I don't have a purpose. I just live. I do what I do. I go about my day, and what's in front of me, I take care of. And the people that call me, I take care of. And what my kids need, I take care of. And what my job demands, I take care of. And I just do what's in front of me. But I don't have a greater sense of why I'm here on the earth. I'm just here to kind of try to not be sad. Maybe hopefully find some joy and some life. And sometimes we get so stuck in that rhythm of purposeless living, we don't realize that there's deep water he's put inside of us. We have to know that it's there. God has planted deep water of purpose inside of each and every one of us. But then it says the man of understanding draws it out. Sometimes we know there's purpose inside of us. We just don't believe in ourselves enough to think it's worthwhile to draw out. And so we let it sit. And we might think, I know that there is a purpose. I believe that. But I don't know if I'm worth developing. I don't know if I'm worth, like, if my purpose is minuscule, then why would I spend time focusing on it or asking God about it? Because what would it really change? Would it really benefit anybody? It says the man of understanding draws it out. And it's so interesting that it says it's understanding. There's an understanding that we have about the essential need for our purpose in the world. And it can sound prideful when you say it that way, but I don't believe that it is. I don't believe having a proper God understanding of who you are is prideful. It's actually saying you are essential, I'm essential, what I bring on the earth is needed, it's valuable, it brings change, it brings life. God didn't put it there just because he likes hiding things. He put it there because he likes us finding things. So I just want to encourage us to ask the question, what is that purpose? What has he planted deep inside? Because he's not just hiding it so it stays hidden. Have you guys seen The Notebook? Anybody? There's a great scene in that movie where the lead character, the guy, he's talking to the girl, and he's trying to build this relationship with her. And she's just very confused and kind of scattered. And he just goes, what do you want? And she goes, I don't know. He's like, what do you want? And it escalates. And he's just like, what do you want? And he's desperate to hear what her desire is. He doesn't want to tell it to her. He wants her to draw it out of herself. And how many of you know that when God has planted destiny and purpose inside of you, he knows what he planted inside of you? But he wants us to draw it out. He wants us to pull it forward. And one of the things that I believe that God is asking is, what do you want? What do you want? I've told you guys this story, I think, but I used to ask the Lord what the secret place was. What does it mean to have that connection with you, that meeting with you? And he said, it's my holy mountain. It's where your desires and my desires meet. And he was telling me about what the secret place is. And he's like, the whole point of it is it's where your heart meets my heart. And where there's alignment, there's an explosion of power. There's an explosion of presence. There's an explosion of destiny. I want to know what you want, because what you want aligns with what I want. That's where kingdom impact begins to happen on the earth. I think sometimes we think, well, what I want isn't that important, isn't that valuable. I think sometimes we look at people and they're doing these epic things and they're leading giant organizations, and we see people on TV and we see people in articles, and we're like, that's destiny, that's power, that's purpose. And we think, well, the things that I want, I just want to be a veterinarian and heal animals. I want to talk to people and hope they feel better and bring life. I want to be a good business person. I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good dad. And we think, well, what I want is so small that it's not powerful and it's not important. The thing is, what we want doesn't become powerful until it becomes partnered with what he wants. It's not that wanting something small is not what he's planted inside of you. It's, have we actually partnered it with him? See, when God told me that picture, I began to ask myself the question, well, what do I want? What does he put inside of me? And what I realized was, what he put inside of me, I want to see people set free. I want to see pain, shame broken off of. I want to see the lies that hold people from living in the fullness of what they were designed to be busted down, so that they can bolt with full speed ahead into the calling that God's given them. And you know what God told me? He said, oh, you want to be a pastor? No, that is not what I said. He told me, he called me to be a pastor. I'm like, no. I told God, I will never be a pastor. I will never be a youth pastor. And I think, I've told this story before, but I think it's important because I want you to know my journey, because I want you to understand how your journey can look. Because I kept having this pop up in my face, and it was so annoying. My youth pastor took me out, and he's like, you're going to go be a youth pastor in Colorado. And I said, no, I'm not. And he's like, well, God told me you are, so take it up with him. So I come out here, I deliberately avoid every ministry job. And the one time I just happened to put my resume on a ministry site, I got called and they're like, we want you to be a youth pastor. I'm like, I didn't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to speak in front of people. God, I want to heal people. He's like, you want to be a pastor? I was like, here's what I didn't know. What I didn't know was that what I loved looked different than I thought it did. And it meant something different than I thought it did. See, when I thought of pastor, I thought of the guy in the front with all the energy. I'm like, I'm not the energetic, like, I'm not the wild guy. I'm not the people guy. I'm like, chill. I'm the chill guy. I'm the velvet. I'm like the, you need to bring the room down and just, like, get peace and calm. I'm like, I can do that. I didn't realize that that's pastoral. And what's so funny is, even, I've told this story too, but we went to New Zealand. Random place out in the middle of nowhere. My shoulder was hurting, and we found out this guy's dad was a doctor. So we hike in the middle of the night through vineyards in this gorgeous land to this man's house who we'd never met. We knock on his door. I don't think he even knew we were coming. And he comes out, and I tell him about my shoulder, and he tells me a little about his story, and he's like, you know, can I just pray for you? And he prayed for me, and then he said, would you pray for me? And I was like, okay. So I pray for him. And as I'm praying for him, he looks at me and he goes, that's wonderful. Was that pastoral? I'm like, no. No, it's not. No, by then I was like, yes. But here's the thing. I wasn't pursuing a title. And here's the reason I'm saying this to you guys. Because I believe that the Lord puts signposts in your life of your purpose. And sometimes, like me, sometimes we're like, I don't want that. Sometimes we actually are scared of it. Sometimes we're like, God, I'm not good enough for that. Like, God, you can't ask me to do that because I can't do that. You can't ask me to change people's lives because nobody wants to listen to me. Nobody wants to hear my story. You can't ask me to write because nobody would read it. What's the point? And just like Moses with the burning bush, he just kind of lights this consistent fire. And he's like, hey, that's your purpose. That's your purpose. And until we recognize our desires, see, here's the thing. When I brought my desires to God, he's like, let me tell you what that is. If I had decided that he was wrong and it looked like something else, I would be miserable. I would be miserable. I could be doing exactly what I thought would make me the happiest. And even if it had components of this, I would be out of my mind, tragically miserable, because I didn't actually hear. You know, it's almost like we have a tablet on our hearts and we need God to help us interpret it. Like, I got to pull the purpose out. What do I want? And then God says, okay, here's what you want. Great. Thank you for pulling that out. Now let me tell you where that aligns and let me show you where to go. But he is so good that I'm fairly certain that most of you have had sign points, just like I did, where he's like, that's it. That's it. That's it. And the question is, will we believe him? Will we say yes to it? Because it's scary. There's no purpose he's planted in us that isn't a little bit intimidating. Because that's how good he is. Listen, he wouldn't call us into something that we could just do all on our own. That's not who he is. It is his nature to call us into something that is too big for us. It is his nature to call you into something that you could never accomplish on your own, because he wants to partner with you and say, you jump off the cliff and I will supply the wings. That's what purpose looks like. Purpose, it's risk. It's faith. It's saying there's something in you. It, you know, what it almost comes down to is saying, God, could you possibly be that good? Could you possibly be that good that what you put inside me is what you're going to empower me to do? You know, when we think about plants, I'm not the person to keep plants alive, but I know the basic needs that they have. Plants need water and they need sunlight, right? And when we think about our lives, there's two things we need. And if we want to develop purpose and we want to grow in the reason that God's put us on this earth, the two things we need are sunlight. We need to expose ourselves to him. We need to put ourselves into the sun and just go, God, shine on me, renew me, pull out of me. Like, we need to meet with him in that secret place. We need to align our desires with him and let him interpret what's happening in our hearts and in our spirits. You know, this morning when I woke up, I realized there was residual shame on me. And it wasn't about anything specific. I hadn't done anything, but I went into the place of prayer and I was like, I just feel ashamed. And I was like, I'm not doing enough. And God's like, you're doing enough. And I'm like, I just feel like, you know, and I realized that I had been putting so much pressure onto myself. And I just came to that place with prayer with him. And when I recognized that, I just started giving that to him. And just his presence washed over the room that I was in. And I realized the reason it felt hard to feel him when I first got into that room wasn't because he wasn't there, but because there was a barrier he needed to remove. And when we expose ourselves to the Son of his presence, here's the thing. Sometimes we think, if I do that, he's just going to reinforce the shame. He's just going to reinforce the fear, the anxiety. He's so big that I should be scared to come near him. And he's going, I'm so big that the things you're scared of should be scared of me. We've got to be willing to let him just evaluate our hearts. It was just a little check for me this morning. But man, it put me back into alignment. Man, it removed something I didn't even realize was there until I paused long enough to go, oh, that feels icky. And he goes, yeah, it does. You want that gone? Yeah, I want that gone. All right. The other thing that plants need is water. And I think the water, the refreshing, that comes in community. In community, where we really will let ourselves be known. Listen, it's scary. But if we will let ourselves be known, and we will share the fears, the worries, the insecurities, the pain, our story, our longings, our dreams, our desires, in the place of real community and real family, what ends up happening is healthy people pour water onto that. And they go, wow, that sounds painful, what you just described. Can I just sit with you? Can I pray for you? Can I encourage you? Can we meet for coffee? Can we connect? Can I call you? Can I text you? Can I give you a hug? And we become community. And in that place of community, we also begin to say, you know that purpose that you were describing? I see that. That clicks for me. I see that in you. That makes sense to me. I think you're really good at that. And we go, oh, really? And they go, yes, I see that. Community is where God can reinforce and grow and build. If I didn't have my youth pastor see me and come to me and go, this is what God wants to do with you, if he wasn't bold enough in his own calling to come and give me that prophetic word, I would have been missing a major signpost from the Lord. your voice is important. You're essential. Because what he did for me, you might be called to do for somebody. Every person in this room, we need the voice of the Lord. We need his encouragement. We need his strength. And sometimes that comes directly from him, but you know what? He designed it in such a way that many times it actually comes from other people. Many times the impartation, right? Jesus laid hands on people to heal them. And then what did he teach his disciples to do? He taught them to lay hands on people to heal people. The interesting thing about what Jesus did and what he passed on to us, listen, in the Western world, you follow a teacher to learn from the teacher. In the Western world, you follow a teacher to learn from the teacher. You will always be the student. They will always be the teacher. In the Eastern world, where Jesus was acting as a rabbi with his disciples, the goal is not for them to always be students. The goal is for them to actually become like him. The goal is for him to replicate himself inside of them. That's why we call ourselves Christians, right? And Jesus said to his disciples, "You're the only ones who will ever heal people." No, that's not what he said. He said, "I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, commanding them to do everything that I've commanded you to do." And what did he command them to do? First he sent the 12, then he sent the 70. And what happens is the 12 go together two by two, and they come back and they're like, "People are being healed, demons are like, what's going on? This is wild." And Jesus goes, "I know, right? Because I've given you that authority." And then the 70 come. Sometimes we think, you know, it's only the apostles that can walk in this stuff, as some people have said. Well, that doesn't make sense for the 70. That doesn't make sense for Acts. That doesn't make sense for all of the prophets and apostles that are mentioned that weren't directly in Jesus and his ministry. It has continued on because Jesus said to the 70 to go out and do this, and then they did that. And what's happening is their purpose is coming out, and in the context of community, they're coming to him, and they're getting authority, and they're getting their purpose and their empowerment. And then in the context of community, they're going out together and reinforcing. And you see it all throughout Acts. You start to see people developing in their purposes. We know Barnabas was the encourager. And it specifically says he's the encourager because they knew what he was designed to do. They knew what he was gifted in. And basically, that's not just a, "Hey, you say nice things to people." No, it's like you actually walk into a room and you shift. When people feel like sad or worn down, they feel uplifted just because you've smiled at them and you come into the room. It's a supernatural gifting. It's a purpose that's not just human. It's aligned with the power of God. And so I want to just encourage us to go after that. Romans 8:19 says the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. Get this, as you become more free, the world around you becomes more free. As you become more free and you walk in the purposes God has planted inside of you, the world around you is impacted by that. Things change. Very creation itself is groaning for the revelation of you. Because God in you is drawing forth something that is essential. The world can't live without. I think there are too many people that live and die with the purpose, the water of purpose, still buried deep down in their well. And I want to ask us if we would not be those people. I want to ask us if we would be the people of understanding who say, "God, I want to know what you've placed inside of me, and I'm going to draw it forth, and it's risky. I may not be accepted." Listen, not everybody will like it. You know, I had voices telling me, "You're supposed to be a leader, you're supposed to be a pastor." But you know, I had other voices too. I had my own voice going, "You could never do that. You can't stand in front of people. You're terrified of being in front of people. You don't want to do this." I had other voices. I legitimately had a boss who would look at me regularly and say, "David, you're not a leader. You're not a leader." And I remember to his face, I was so offended and so hurt. And I said, "I think I am. I think I'm a leader." "No, you're not a leader." He's like, "It's okay. You don't have to be a leader. Not everybody needs. You're not a leader." So I could have listened to that voice. I could have aligned myself with that voice. It would have been so easy because it reinforced what I believed about myself for most of my life at that time. I had 16 years of believing the worst about myself and what I could not do. And I had maybe 2 or 3 years of understanding and beginning to tiptoe into what God was saying about me. And when he said those words, I could have come into alignment with them and God said, "You're right. Okay. That's what I always thought." But there's a decision that we have to make about what voice is going to be the loudest. Because there will always be two voices. Not everybody is going to look at you and reinforce the purposes of God in you. But we have to be willing to say, "I'm going to walk in that despite the fear of rejection, despite the chance that somebody might disagree. I'm going to say he said it. I know it. I'm going to do it." And I would rather, again, we come to God with these things that we're afraid of. And he's like, "They should be afraid of me." It's like, you know, I would fear to tell somebody that God didn't tell them something. It doesn't mean there aren't certain things that are clearly not from him. But to step into that place and go, we're called to be a community that waters each other. We're called to be a community that brings that encouragement, that life. I would love to see, in fact, many of you in here are risking and pushing forward in the call that God's given you. You are developing the purposes he's put inside of you. And to that, I just say, you got this. Like, I will be your biggest cheerleader. I am leaping and jumping for every risk that is taken because it's so needed. What I hate are the risks that take people away from here. But at the same time, if it's the risk for him, if it's what he's called, I can't fully hate that. The important thing to remember is, like Jeremiah went to God and Jeremiah said, "I'm still a child. I can't do what you're asking me to do." And God said, "Don't say I'm still a child because I will be with you and I will rescue you." "I will rescue you" implies he's saying, "Hey, don't say I'm just a child." And you know, God always says, "Don't fear." But then he's saying, "I will rescue you." And he's like, well, I'm sure Jeremiah's like, "Well, what am I going to need to be rescued from?" Like, the thing is, we think sometimes that we have to qualify ourselves. Jeremiah was like, "I'm just a child. So when I'm older, I'll be ready for this great call that you're talking about." Right now, he's like, "I don't know much. I'm immature. I haven't experienced much of life. I'm not ready for this." And his tendency, his original nature, is to try to qualify himself. And I think the Lord is saying, you don't qualify yourself for the purposes I've given you. It's not like, "I'm going to go do night classes and I'm going to go finish a residency and I'm going to, like, I need some extra credits and more courses and more training and more knowledge." And God's like, "No, I put it inside of you. It's there. You can develop it, but don't wait to start using it. You're called to walk in it now." Last thing I want to talk about real quick is the word activation. Activation. Activation is the difference between understanding something and knowing that it's true and actually using it and actually walking in it. I can have a lamp on my desk, but until I hit the power button, it's not activated. It has the potential for light, but it's not giving off light. In the same way, each and every one of you has the potential for purpose, but it takes activation to actually walk in your purpose. It's kind of like, you ever watch those spy movies where there's somebody who has like this secret spy encoding in their brain, and it's like they're living normally, and like they talk about activating the sleeper agent. They're like a sleeper agent, so they've got all this training and this stuff. And all of a sudden, like, a switch gets flipped and they're like in spy mode and they didn't even know they could do it. They got activated, right? In the same way, we've got to consider that God has put things inside of us, and activating them means we take every opportunity to use what he's given us until, often God won't give us more until we've used the first thing he's given us. And so he's waiting for us to be activated. And as a community, the goal is, I can't activate you. I can't flip your switch. Only you can. Only you can say, I'm actually going to take you know, the concept of prophecy and test it and try it. I'm going to take the concept of praying for people for healing and I'm going to make it a regular habit and I'm going to keep going and not give up. I'm going to take the concept of hearing God's voice and I'm actually going to dedicate consistent amounts of time to hearing him. Activation is taking a concept and putting it into action. And that's what Jesus did again with his disciples. He activated them. He sent them to do everything that he had been doing. So I think I want to end with this. What do you want? What do you want? Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how busy you are or how much time you have. What has he planted inside of you? So I want to encourage two things. One, let's go after our own purpose. Let's develop it. Let's draw it out. Let's be the people that aren't going to let that water just sit there until we die, but we are going to draw it forth. It doesn't matter if it's a risk, because it's a risk that's worth taking. And the second thing I want to encourage and ask us to do is to be people that are those confirmation indicators, that are those burning bushes of God's voice going, hey, that really is it. God really has put this purpose inside of you. I just want to affirm it and confirm it and strengthen it. You know, sometimes trees, if there's too much wind or things, they'll start to bend. And so a lot of times with young trees, they have straps around them that hold them straight up. We've had them on our trees in the front of our house for a long time. And as the tree's growing, it keeps it from growing bent. And in the same way, we get to do that for each other. We get to be the ones holding and go, hey, you're right. You're right on track. You're on track. You're good. This is good. You're on the right path. Because sometimes if we don't have those voices around us, what God's created us for is here, and we just bend away from it because it just feels like too much for us. So let's be people for each other. Don't hold it inside. If you have a word of encouragement for somebody, don't think, oh, they don't need to hear that. If you have a word of affirmation or a prophetic word for somebody, don't think, oh, God will tell them somewhere else or later. God's given it to us to be that water for each other. He's the sun. But we get to be the community that says, I want to help you. I want to pour that back into you because I see it. All right, so Father, we just thank you that you have planted purpose in us. God, thank you that we are essential, that you've made us for a reason. We're not just here to float around, but we're actually here to find joy in the purposes you've given us. Father, I just call forth purpose in the heart of every person in this room and every person who listens to this message. That you would draw it forth, that you would help them, God, to identify and draw forth what you've planted inside of them, God. God, would you surround us with voices of encouragement, and would you drown out, Father, every lie, every voice that has told us anything against what you've called us to do. God, I bless each and every person here and thank you. In Jesus' name.